And Father, we give you all glory and honor. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that you have heard our cries to you. We thank you, God, that you've heard our hearts and that you've even heard our blood. God, we thank you that you hear it all. And we give it all to you, God, every care and concern, we give it to you. We thank you for your glory. We seal this meeting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We lock it down for the kingdom. And thank you, God, your angels are here to remove all wickedness from us, to remove anything the devil's trying to do, to just rip it out and take it out. It's not worthy of your presence. And God, we thank you that we are in your presence this night. Okay, well, we're going to move on here. We have an interesting teaching tonight. It's in the realm of the courts. It's in the spirit realm. And it comes at a great time. Do you remember that what God did for us last service? He did many things, but one thing he had us do was to pray in the courts to fortify our positions in him, to safeguard our positions in God. And so we're part of the kingdom now. We're really part of the kingdom. And that means we have business to take care of. There's an aspect of God, of being his child, of being his beloved one that he just loves and he pours his love into. But then there's an aspect of the kingdom and interfacing with God, and it's very businesslike. It's very official. There's things that need to be done. There's almost a no-nonsense, you know, it's not ignorant, but it's a no-nonsense, let's get stuff done attitude that is coming upon the church. It comes with the spirit of excellence, which is coming on the church. Because we weigh things out, right? We value things according to how God values them. All right, so the testimony of our blood, that's what we're talking about. And this all came to pass. If you looked at the bulletin in the previous weeks, God gave Reverend Nancy Connell this revelation that our blood speaks, that it has a voice, okay? And Pastor Barbara asked me to teach this, and when she did, God said this. He says, it's time for my people to be exonerated, okay? And I didn't know the full meaning of that word, but we're going to unpack it. But what is the main motivation of God? To exonerate his people. Yes, he loves us. Yes, there's that part. But there's the business part of it. And it's over there on the wall. And a key part is because the harvest is here. So he needs us freed up. Isaiah 60 verse 5, because the riches of the sea will be brought to you, and the wealth of the nations' people will come to you. God's sending people in. The harvest has begun tonight. It's already begun. It's already here. He wants to send people to us. And he's going to send people to us, and we're going to need to know how to deal with them and what weapons we have. We're going to need to be well-versed within the kingdom, within kingdom authority, and knowing what's what and how to do so many things. And God's giving us revelation now. Like that first song, what did it say? You're right on time. You're right where you need to be. Okay, we're right on time. And this time is a time for disclosure. It's a time for revelation. It's a time for the church to be properly spiritual, not some fake spiritual, but properly spiritual. Okay. So this is what God did Sunday. On Sunday, God installed verdicts for us individually and as a whole, as a church, from his courts. Our positions are now safeguarded by the kingdom. But we need to learn how to maintain them and follow through with any necessary cleansing. And God's cleansing us. You know, he works with us. He falls upon us and does great things. But we need to know how this thing works within the courts. We need to know how to set people free from the courts. Okay? And this is all part of this thing. This is all part of the harvest. This is all part of everything God's invested in us becoming very fruitful and very active. So the word God used was exoneration. He said, it's time for my people to be exonerated. I didn't know the full meaning of this, so let's talk about it. In general, an exoneration occurs when a person who has been convicted of a crime is officially cleared of all charges. This goes beyond being not guilty, but includes all blame and stain of reputation being officially lifted. Do we understand that? We're not just not guilty, we are exonerated. And I continue, so the status of being innocent goes beyond, you know, just being granted your innocence, but our innocence becomes proven. Doesn't it feel good to prove to the enemy, I never did that sin, God washed it away. This person that's in this bondage, God's going to clean them up and clear them so that there's no more hold on them. Do we see where this is going? This is laughing in the face of the enemy. This is how God does it. All the time that the enemy spent on that person, God's going to erase it and give them something new, okay? So we're being exonerated. And here's another key part of exoneration. At times, exoneration comes after new evidence becomes available. And you'll see this like in the natural court. Let's say some guy, you know, they say, you robbed this place, right? Well, but then there's proof, there's evidence. Wait, you were actually over here in this other state, so you couldn't have done it. So the part of the new evidence is coming to us, okay? Exoneration, new evidence, and we're going to unpack that new evidence. And there's an aspect of justification that God's bringing us to that makes us untraceable to the enemy, okay? So before we stand on the new evidence, we need to deal with any old evidence. This old evidence is any charge or claim that the enemy has over us or our bloodlines. Our bloodlines, big deal. A lot of what we deal with, because of our ancestors. A lot of the enemy's hold, because of the long line that he has. So how do we be exonerated? We're going to go through these steps, okay? So you face your rightful guilt. You deal with the old man. You man up to what happened, right? You deal with your bloodline history, and you repent. You don't act like it didn't happen. You repent, right? You come to terms with it. That's repentance. Repentance is taking accountability and then changing. Number two, you receive your rightful pardon and remove the enemy's claim. We kick the enemy out, right, after we receive that pardon. Number three, we remove all penalty and stain. That's when we become to start becoming cleansed, all right? And number four is we receive justice. Okay, the justice that we receive includes your victory over the enemy, and this is your vindication and the enemy's condemnation. And if God rules in your favor in this way, in this exceeding way, it is not only your vindication, but the enemy gets penalized. He gets condemned. He gets sanctioned and removed. The work of justice also allows you to be able to receive special ministry and works of restoration so that you can grow in the new man. There's some things that are only unlocked when you go through the steps. If people are having issues receiving, sometimes there's something legally that's still holding it up. And this protocol that God's giving us, it's all of the enemy's ifs, ands, and buts, and loopholes, they're being done away with, okay? So the new man, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is going to go beyond something that just sounds good. We're going to live in that newness. So one highly useful method of vindication, getting back to our subject here, is to have the testimony of our blood given in a courtroom setting. While dealing with a sickness in her body, God spoke to Reverend Nancy Connell and said, why don't you first subpoena your blood to the courtroom and have it testify? So why the blood? Why the blood? Okay, our blood. The voice of our own blood cannot declare our complete innocence. The voice of our blood can, however, move God's heart to judge or vindicate to some degree. And there's the most popular way to see this in the Bible is in Genesis when Cain killed Abel. So Cain kills Abel. God goes over and says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now, Cain, you are accursed and banished from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield its produce to you. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." So it was in God's heart to have to avenge Abel. God is the one who exacts judgment. And Cain fell into judgment immediately. So the voice of our blood cries out to God for judgment. And really what it does is God can clearly see what went on. Something very unjust went on. And God, he's the judge. He needed to vindicate the innocent. And that's what he did. So there is some of that going on with the blood. You know, God sees it. God will judge. He will move, right? But still, our blood is not purely cleansed. And we're going to get into this. But more to the point of this teaching and widening our understanding of the blood and what our blood contains and if it speaks what it would say, more to the point of this teaching, the voice of our blood is a valuable source of record. So without Abel's blood crying out and for all that, the blood could have just plainly stated what happened. God, because of the blood, knew what happened, okay? So our blood is a valuable source of record. Hebrews 4:13, and this is how everything in existence at the end of the day, God made it, and it will testify to God. Check this out. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. All things must give account to God. We are on the right side of God. He's our Father. He's our judge. And we can work this giving account thing out with God in the courts, okay? But my point here is the blood must give account. All right, Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's a deep scripture there. So let's unpack this. So what you have lived out and what you are likely to live out the course of your life is contained within your blood. The voice of our blood is the complete revealed evidence of our life. Our blood contains proof and record of everything, the good and the bad, the blessing and the curse, and everything in between. Through it, guilt and innocence is reflected and known. Our blood is also proof of our frailty and suffering. It is proof, key word, proof of our humanity. And so, you know, in the natural realm, you can get a blood test and find out all kind of things, right? So how cannot God find out every last thing? And how cannot the creation that God made, you know, give a voice to God, to the Creator, to give account to him? So have you ever sat and thought, why the blood of Jesus? Why did it have to be the blood? Okay, and we're going to find this out. Hebrews 2:14, now since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So what's that telling you? That's telling you that Jesus had to become flesh and blood in order to destroy the devil. And there's more coming here. So Jesus needed to intervene on our bloodlines and on us individually. Why? Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. Everyone sinned. Numbers 14:18, the Lord is slow to anger. And this is going to show what the enemy holds on to. This is going to show that the blood, our own blood, and that the collective blood, our generations, gets put in the hands of the enemy through sin. So the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in loving devotion, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation. So that means we have a lot to deal with. Sin does not go unpunished when man refuses to get right with God, which is repenting. The sin will continue to pass on until it's properly dealt with. Sin and the plans of the enemy are not the only thing that can travel down the bloodline. So there's a good part of this whole blood thing too. Blessing and the purpose of God can as well. The story of Abraham shows God's plan to redeem a people through a bloodline or lineage. So did we ever ask ourselves, because it just seems like there's this guy named Abraham, and for whatever reason, God looked at him, and he decided, okay, that's my guy. I'm going to work with this guy. But why? Why did he choose Abraham, okay? This is the history of our faith. This is the history of who we are and you know, why things exist. We're going to need to know all these details. So what did God first require of Abram in order to bless him? God has had Abram leave his old life, his bloodline, behind. Genesis 12, verse 1, then the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So do you notice the key words there? There is the intervention that God did through Abram, but he required Abram to leave his country, his kindred, his family, his household. But in him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So there's a taking back the bloodline that God's in here, okay? So trace this back to where Jesus is now. Have you ever read Matthew 1 that says the lineage of Jesus? It all goes back to Abraham. So God really cares about bloodlines. He's very meaningful with this whole blood, the bloodline, okay? So everything we have in Christ was established because of God's intervention in Abraham's life. Galatians 3, verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to the Gentiles in Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives because of God's intervention on Abraham, and that brought all these things to us. So through God's intervention with Abraham, the new covenant eventually came to pass. What established the new covenant? Matthew 26, 28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So we say it's all about the blood of Jesus because it had to be about the blood. It had to be. And so let's figure out what the blood of Jesus exactly does, okay? Because we have our own blood with contamination, right? So in order to be a new creation, we need this new cleansing blood, all right? So the blood of Jesus, this is what it does. It dissolves the contracts with darkness. It removes legal rights and agreements with darkness after repentance takes place. It is proof that we are forgiven of sin and cleared of all guilt. It is the new evidence of our exoneration. It is the new evidence that thoroughly dismisses and disproves the old. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and prepares the way for our restoration. 1 John, starting at, let's look at 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus gives us access. It makes the way for us to enter into heaven. It allows us to be spiritual and to receive promises. It allows us to inherit eternity. It gives us our place and allows us to serve God. All of that, all of this is in this following scripture. So let's look at Hebrews 9:12. He did not enter into God's presence, into the heavenly kingdom, by the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. How much more would the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, purify our consciences from the work of death so that we might serve the living God? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we could not serve God in any way. Therefore, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant so that those who are called may receive. The blood of Jesus allows us to receive the promised eternal inheritance. So the blood of Jesus allows us to inherit the kingdom. It puts us into eternity. It lifts all the barriers that are active in our life. Now that he has died to redeem them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. All right, so we're a new covenant church. We have all the weapons at our disposal, and we are in the kingdom, and so we need a new covenant disclosure, okay? And this is the hallmark scripture for the courts of heaven. And there's more to it than what I'm going to read, but I'm going to read something important. But it's in Hebrews 12, starting at verse 22. So here's where we come to with the new covenant. Notice it is a spiritual destination that's talked about here. Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to God, the judge of all, to all the spirits of righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than that of Abel. So we come to Jesus, right, and to his blood, two separate things there. So notice that it speaks better than the word of Abel, okay? It speaks better. And Abel was a righteous man. So when God had Reverend Nancy bring her blood to testify, why did he do that? He wanted to cleanse her line. He wanted to cleanse her body from the sickness. He had to go back into the generations to deal with stuff that went on. So the testimony of our blood, okay. So God wants to remove the weight of accusation and wrongful guilt, okay, from the blood. And in a second here, I'm going to explain kind of how that takes place. I'm going to explain how the testimony of the blood kind of comes to pass. Okay. So we want to enter into disclosure within the courts. As we empty out and allow the testimony of our blood to be given, we are spilling the beans as to what's in us. We are bringing all things to account. Our goal here is to replace the old verdicts and accusations of the enemy with the new verdicts from God. As we do this, we are able to throw out the script of the enemy and to receive God's script for us, which is that destiny that he uniquely made for us. Okay, so there's a court that deals with this. And are you guys grasping this? Is this something that seems a little far out? How we doing? Are you guys here? Okay. Because there's a court case that God wants to do for us, okay? All right. So there's a court to deal with this, and it's called the Court of Roots. The Court of Roots. And I'm going to be honest with you. God has given me different disclosures of courts. And sometimes I'm like, God, is there really that many courts? I mean, does this happen like that? And I always get myself checked with Pastor Barbara, and God says, yes, it's a vast kingdom. Things have to get done. And we have to know where to go for the perfect work to happen. There are some prayers that we may petition the courts of heaven, and it works. But for a specific work, you need to be at the right place to get the right things done. And there's a depth to all that, but that'll be for a later day. All right, so the Court of Roots. Why are we dealing with this court? Okay, this court has the jurisdiction to handle the enemy in a special way, an enemy whose grasp is very far, wide, and deep. So this court comes with the authority. It comes with the jurisdiction to handle complex bloodline situations, principalities, demons, ruler spirits, all this stuff, it all gets untangled and is able to be dealt with. Because haven't we heard the horror stories? You know, there's a prayer team, they go to Washington, D.C., they start rebuking all the principalities, and 2 weeks later, their dog's dead and all hell breaks loose. They're operating outside of their jurisdiction, so the enemy can pounce on them. With the courts, we are insulated in such a way to deal with things with God having our back, with the proper angels being assigned to it, with the proper disclosure being given. Everything syncs up and everything gets dealt with properly, okay? All right, so do you want to do this? Do you want a court session to deal with things, to deal with the blood? Okay, so first I'm going to explain a little bit of what I saw. I did this for myself, okay? And as I put my blood on the witness stand in the court of roots, okay, all kind of things started taking place. And all kind of things were speaking. The blood was speaking, spilling the beans. But it was not the blood only, but what was in the blood was speaking. Okay? What was in the blood was speaking. So this is what happened to me. The witchcraft was talking. The generational pride was talking. The insecurities were talking. The memories were talking. Okay? Guilt, shame, condemnation, questions, theories, all of it was just there. All of it was there. All of it was getting sorted out. Okay? And the enemy, so when you do a word study on the enemy, the devil, look that word up. That word means false accuser. So that scary devil is a false accuser. So let's look at the word accuser, the accuser of the brethren, right? His power is all based on his accusations. The way he drives you crazy and keeps you bound is because of his legal rights over you, okay? His accusations over you. That's his power. That's all he has. And God has given him this podium that he recognizes. God recognizes the enemy as the accuser of the brethren. He lets him do it. And God works things out for our good and his glory, but Satan has something. But notice, false accuser. We can prove his accusations false. Okay, so that's what we have going for us here. So as I was allowing my blood to testify, this, I'm just going to share with what happened. You could hear the accusation of the enemy in my blood. These accusations intermingle, all right? This is what a mess this is. This is what a true mess human bondage is. The accusations intermingled with hurts, wounds, stored memories, emotions, my own understanding, and all of these unsettled things can fuel cycles that we get into, and these cycles we experience as attacks. Have we been there? There's accusations behind there. We deal with things in deliverance. We kick the enemy out. We plead the blood of Jesus. We do all these things. But are we untwining everything and removing everything? Or are we leaving some things there? Okay? To deal with the accusations is to get true freedom. So through this thing, the voice of the testimony of my blood is just speaking. Everything it's been through, everything that it's accumulated, everything is becoming spoken. Why? So it can be dealt with. It's giving an account. The enemy in me is giving an account. Parts of myself that aren't solidified is giving an account. Everything is giving an account. Why? So it can be dealt with. And this court, the court of roots is set up to deal with all kind of complex things. So while these things were being dealt with, it felt like the scroll of my life was just being read. The scroll of my life, the scroll of my blood, everything that I went through and everything that influenced me was just being, boom, just put out there, right? But so with that, it's not all bad. There's some good things. And I saw angels collecting the good things and kind of putting it in pouches, securing my blessings, taking the bad stuff, dealing with it, taking the neutral stuff, dealing with it, just getting it out there, and then having the good stuff put off to the side to be reinstated to me. I saw light going through my blood. It was like the searchlight of Christ going through the blood, you know, checking, radiating, you know, just doing it works. But with this process, you let the process play out. And this, what does this do? This allows everything to be put into proper place. And as this is going on, start repenting for things. You know, as this is going on, allow the truth to come out, right? Repent for going back under the sway of the enemy. Repent for, you know, that thing you were freed from, but you went back. Repent for that too. Every little thing. Repent for any agreement with shame, guilt, and condemnation, and ask for their removal, okay? And then as you continue repenting, your tie to that thing is being lifted. I know this is kind of deep, you guys, but thanks for bearing here. So it's being lifted. And is your experience going to be crazy like this? I don't know, maybe. You know, there's all kind of things that need to be dealt with, and they get dealt with. And maybe it looks crazy, maybe it looks complicated, but it's getting dealt with, okay? So as this was going on, things were being cleared up, things were being moved. I was led to disavow, you know, come out of agreement with all generational contracts, bondages, and inheritances that are not lined up with the perfect will of God. Okay, and then as I finished, as all that happened, this is a necessary component. Once you allow your blood to testify and you get all those things out, you need to be replaced. You need to answer the accusations that are still going on in there with the shed blood of Jesus. The shed blood of Jesus is the new evidence that answers all accusation. The voice of the blood of Jesus cries out to God for our full pardon and redemption. It will move God to judge to the fullest. It speaks better things than that of Abel. If Abel's blood caused God to move the way he did and vindicate him, how much more will the shed blood of Jesus speak on your behalf? All right. So if you are transparent before God, this is going to be in your favor. And this verse, the Holy Spirit just gave me that this verse is a verse that shows how what the blood of Jesus says over us, over his church right here. This is the verse. And this is what Jesus held on to when he went to the cross, okay? Because the blood of Jesus, that testimony, it knows about the cross. It knows about the humanity he endured. It knows about every little thing. And it's Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O Sheol, is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. And that's about compassion towards the enemy. Compassion is hidden from my eyes. So there's a vengeance that we get to tap into against our enemy when we have the testimony of the blood of Jesus speaking on our behalf. And then, you know, once this plays out, once this takes place, ask that anything within you that is not lined up with the testimony of the blood of Jesus be removed. The testimony of our blood says it how it is. It discloses everything. And then we get put back together. We get built back up by the testimony of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then after that, because this is a courtroom thing, because God will give the enemy a nod at times, the enemy is allowed to rebut if he wants to. But guess what? If you went through the protocol and you allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you, the enemy will not have anything to stand on. So allow for rebuttal once everything's taken place. Ask the courts to subpoena any form of the enemy that seeks to accuse. Ask for penalty against all previous false accusations. So if the enemy wants to come back and say something, and it's been proven false already, he has a penalty. So what's that mean? He's not going to come back. You're already sanctioning him. You're already safeguarding what you and God worked so hard to get, okay? And that's justice. Okay, and then after that, there's judgment. Allow God to sentence the enemy and petition for protection and restraining orders to be put in place. We now have rights over the enemy. A successful court case gives you rights over the enemy. You went into it with the enemy having rights over you. You kicked him out. You took the upper hand, and now you have rights over him to protect all of your stuff, to kick him out of other people's lives, okay? Our condemnation is removed, and his condemnation in areas of our life and bloodline becomes established. So we have rights over the enemy. Any verdict that God awards us, it comes with more increased authority to do that same thing God did for us, for other people, to officiate within the courts in the same kind of justice God gave you. You grow into that kind of justice. And there's an aspect of God's people being officials within the courts, being kings and priests within the courts, being judges within the courts. This is all biblical. This all has to do with this new government that God's building upon the earth, okay? So, Jesus. So each of us, and God's looking out here, and each of us still have loud accusations of the enemy that's speaking through our blood. There's guilt speaking through the blood. There's condemnation speaking through the blood. All right. And so right now we're just going to do this. So God, you see everything here. And God, we give your angels permission. And everyone, give the Holy Spirit permission to do what he wants to do. God, we give you permission. God, and we ask that on the seat of our hearts, God. Anything there, any idol right there, God, we don't want it there anymore. And God, we want our blood to give a witness, to take the witness stand in your courts right now, God. We want our blood to go there and to disclose what has us so beat up, what makes us backslide, what makes us judge one another, what makes us cling on to condemnation. God, we want every home of condemnation to be destroyed within your people. Let the scrolls speak. Let the scrolls speak. God, we thank you for the evidence. All the old evidence, God, we thank you that you're dealing with it. Anything that comes to you to speak or repent of, go ahead. Speak and repent of it. And now, God, we want to make room for the voice of the shed blood of Jesus to speak on our behalf, to speak against the cycles that we are in, to speak against the confusion that we're prone to speak against the anxiety that rules our lives, to speak against the worry, to speak against our judgmentalism, to speak against the unloving and orphaned spirit. God, and everything that's been stirred up, we thank you, God, that your angels are dealing with us, dealing with everything coming out. God, we thank you for making room to replace any hard-heartedness, anything that cannot be compassionate, how you are compassionate. Every hidden agenda, God, we thank you that it's being exposed. Any cursing spirit, God, any cussing spirit, any foul mouth spirit, that we repent for using words that are not right, that don't bring you glory. Now, God, we ask for the testimony of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to speak over us, to silence the enemy, to restore us. God, we thank you that the shed blood of Jesus answers any and all rebuttal. God, do we make room for your judgment against our enemies? God, we ask that protection orders are going to be put in place against the enemies that you're removing from our life. God, we thank you for the status of our enemies being under condemnation from the courts in us being cleared and vindicated before your throne. God, we thank you for restitution, payback, restoration. God, we thank you for all courtroom activity. God, we especially thank you for all the generational cleansing that you did. It all gets read. It all gets disclosed. And son, that hard-heartedness, I want to take it. Give him that hard-heartedness, Anthony. And all those words that you berated yourself with, all that is just coming right out. The enemy made you an accuser of your own self. No more. All that gets worked out right now. God, we thank you that you hear his blood, that you hear his cries for help, even his cries for vengeance. And God, every enemy that added to, we thank you that you're taking note of those enemies, that added to his confusion, that added to his guilt, and put on him deep, deep unworthiness and insignificance. But son, you are significant before me. You are one that I plucked out of the fire and brought into a new realm of existing. And Anthony, you have everything ahead of you. God, we thank you that that guilt right now, that that guilt and even that penalty, any rightful penalty of backsliding, God, we ask that your grace washes that account right now. Your grace washes. Even maybe you made others serve this sentence, but you're not going to make him serve it. Relinquish. Relinquish. No more sadness. Come out of sadness. And all that sadness is stored up. God, we thank you that those scrolls are just being read and read and read and read and read and read. There we go. I said, now, yes. Yes. God, we want that testimony now. The testimony of his blood, that's a righteous testimony in his blood. There's a righteous testimony in you coming out. It's from you. It's just from you to the Father. It's coming out. And we think, God, so the shed blood of Jesus Christ is testifying along with your blood now, along with your righteous blood, that you are worthy, you're worth saving, and you're worth redeeming.
Get rid of that spirit of shame that's holding him in bondage.
God, we want full verdicts right now against the spirit of shame and every guilt and condemnation with you. But let go of the blood. God, we thank you all those rights are on our side now. We take back all the rights that are on our side. Out of the hand of the enemy, shame goes away. We sentence you, shame. All the guilt, that spirit, and the cloak of heaviness, we remove that. We set him, God, on stable ground. And all this stuff brought an appetite of destruction back to you. And God, this appetite of destruction, we judge that right now. That all these comfort mechanisms are no longer necessary because he has the comforter. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you do your work, whatever you need to do to make a home in him. And God, we banish this orphan spirit right now that has nowhere to go to. You leave. Anthony stays. Anthony stays in the eternal kingdom right now. And you're getting moved over, Anthony, outside or out from where you're at in the world to the kingdom. You're getting moved in the kingdom right now. Every accusation silenced.
You need to put the living water in with the blood because his blood is still tainted. You have to get that cleaned.
Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, it's your living waters. Your living waters. Go into the blood. Fix him.
Wash it clean.
Wash it clean. Fix him. Wash all the taint out of the blood, and every generational inheritance washes right out with it. Every noose gets washed out with it. All that insecurity washed out with it. The living waters, the new living waters that brings them right before your throne. It comes from the throne and brings you right to the throne. The new and living waters.
Alfonso, he can't receive the kiss of Christ. Yeah, the kiss of love. And God wants you to hug him. Banish all darkness, all guilt, all shame, and bring true love. Just let it surge through him right now. Just told him, cleanse him, just cleanse him with the love of Christ. God wants to write a new name down in heaven tonight, and the enemy wants to keep him. So you guys, you have power and authority. You strip him of all of his authority. And you took him into the courtroom, commanded the enemy to be there too to hear God's verdict. And God is saying a new name is written down in heaven.
God, and we want permanent eviction right now. We're asking that you rule, God, for permanent eviction. And any homeless spirit with you, permanent eviction. Bastard spirit, permanent eviction. Unworthiness, permanent eviction. Everything dealt with, God, we want a permanent eviction. And we ask for that testimony of that blood to leave no accusation, leave no basis for
any accusation. Wash all addiction out of the blood.
We cleanse the blood of all
addictions.
That's right. All addiction cleansed. Living water,
amen.
Shed blood of Jesus right now. Shed blood of Jesus in the blood. Living water in the blood. The verdicts of God go in the blood. Angels intervene in the blood right now. All half-heartedness has to go too. That's right. All half-heartedness right now. Insecurity. All out. All out. All out. All out of the blood, cleansing the blood, shed blood of Jesus replaces everything. Replaces even the idle words in the blood. We want hope, only hope in this man's blood. Security, new faith, new faith. And if God did this for you, Anthony, how much more will he do for others through you? Through you, he's not saving you just to sit you back down. There's a purpose being restored. God, we want all the scrolls of his destiny read over to him right now, read over him with the shed blood of Jesus.
I want everybody in here to put your hands up there towards this young man and claim that the enemy's holding him is totally, completely gone.
All the way out. It's all the way over. Defeated. All jurisdiction, God, we bring all foreign jurisdiction before your throne right now. We deal with all these claims, every different claim over him, God. He doesn't want you. Every voice of accusation is removed. Removed. And God, the way the devil makes things glitter, we want that removed. Anything, let it go away. No more authority out of his mind, out of his emotions, out of his perception, out of his appetites. God, we want a whole person, a whole new person, the new man. We judge all old man tendencies, God. We remove all old man tendencies and give him the new man to live a life of destiny and purpose and security.
You walk under too much condemnation. It doesn't matter what you've done. God doesn't care. He's liberating you tonight.
That's the cross.
And he loves you. And people need to quit judging you. this is what the trouble with the world today. We're judging people who have addictions or whatever, and instead of speaking the love of Christ into them, it takes a lot of long suffering. You have to bring a person through out of darkness into the light. Alfonso, you know that. You didn't get free overnight. All righty.
I said yes. Praise the Lord.
He even looks different, doesn't he?